This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may live upon the earth, and certainly an important program for all people, because every race, every heritage, every culture, every way of life has a right to preserve its own, and to have a society that reflects the values of its forefathers, a society that reflects the soul and spirit of the people that live within it. We live in a world that's rapidly changing, obviously, and globalism is a great threat to every people. It's a great threat to the basic freedom that we all value. For years and years as a young man, I remember listening to so-called right-wing extremists talk about how a world government was coming. And under that world government, freedom and liberty would be stamped out. That there would be massive imprisonment of people for their improper political opinions. That there would be a control over the world economy. There would be control over the individual property rights that exist around the world for people in respective nations, and eventually there would be a wiping away of European mankind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of happening today. It is happening. It's occurring. We can see it occurring. Globalism is on the march. And whether you call it corporate globalism, or whether you call it government globalism or UN globalism, how in the world can someone in, say, New York City know what's best for Kampala, Uganda, or for Calcutta, India, or for Beijing, China, or vice versa? The bigger the government, the further the government is from the people, and the less free, generally, that a people are. We do have the trappings of democracy in the United States of America. We vote for candidates, but we have a system that doesn't really allow a multi-political party system. We don't have a system that allows a true debate on the critical issues of the day. A perfect example is, of course, the last presidential debates between Senator Kerry and George Bush. Even though a significant percentage of the American people have been opposed to the Iraq War, that saw the Iraq War was and is a disaster for the United States. Not only is it a disaster for the over 2,300 American men and women killed in this conflict, and the over 20,000 who've been wounded, and the hundreds of thousands who are enduring mental damage and psychological damage from this conflict. That's according to the Pentagon, by the way. Their own figures say that about a third of the American personnel in Iraq are going to need professional psychological help over the next few years. That's the United States of America Pentagon that made that assessment. But not only is it damaging to them, it's damaging to us, of course. Billions of dollars and soon to be trillions of dollars of cost to the American people. And beyond that, of course, it's leading us into an incredible destruction. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. Let's go on with our music, and we're going to fire this thing up to get started one more time. Here we go. This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may live upon the earth, and certainly an important program for all people of the planet, because we here on Stormfront, and we here at DavidDuke.com, believe in the right of all people to run their own affairs, to have a government that's responsible to their own people. We believe that every race, every society, every culture, every faith has the right to preserve itself in its own homelands. We're not inconsistent in our beliefs. And we also know that globalism is literally threatening to stamp out the individual characteristics of nations, cultures, languages, and literally the unique genetic expressions of mankind. And yes, there are differences among mankind. We don't ignore those differences. We don't pretend they don't exist. We don't try to say that these differences make no or have no effect on culture or society or technology. We believe that the differences of mankind really are an enrichment of the planet. And we believe in a true diversity, but it's a diversity based on the fact that individual peoples have the right to control their individual nations. And that's the only way they can preserve that particular heritage and that expression of humanity. If America and the world becomes some sort of Tower of Babel, hodgepodge, the individual differences and cultures will be extinguished. And we don't want to see that. We also don't want to see a lack and loss of freedom that comes along with so-called globalism. We believe that the biggest governments tend to be the most unfree nations. Big government, and the bigger government is, the less responsive it is to the will and the ideas and the input of the people. A good example is the United States of America. We have two parties. Ostensibly, we have a democratic system. But how does it work? Well, we have Republicans and Democrats. And just about everybody, except for maybe one or two in the House of Representatives and the United States Senate and most state legislators, are either Republicans or Democrats. That's it. That's not exactly a tremendous choice, is it? It's not as if there's not choices out there that people make which would be different than the Republicans and Democrats. It's the point that the system is arranged that those unique voices are stilled, that they're stifled. A perfect example of this false so-called democracy that we live in was, of course, the debates between Senator Kerry and President Bush in the last presidential election. Even though a significant portion of the population in the United States was opposed and is opposed to the Iraq war, both candidates were trying to outdo themselves about how they were going to win the war. Kerry was even providing and proposing for more troops in the conflict. As most of you listening to this broadcast, and two-thirds of the American people now accept, the Iraq war is a disaster. It's a disaster for America. It's a disaster not just for the well over 2,000 men and women who have lost their lives for nothing, and the over 20,000 that have been maimed or crippled or blinded or disfigured for life in this war, or the hundreds of thousands who are going to face psychological problems. And this, according to the Pentagon, that over a third of our soldiers who are returning to the United States are going to need professional help in the psychological department. The war has already cost upwards of $300 billion, and according to most of the studies that are being done today, the war will reach even further upward to over $1 trillion within 10 years, well within 10 years, and perhaps as high as $3 or $4 trillion in the next 15 to 20 years. $3 or $4 trillion, ladies and gentlemen. That is a king's ransom. It's enough to pay for the health care of every aged American. It's enough to pay for the free college education of every student. It's enough to give a hell of a tax break to the American people. It's enough to pay for the health insurance of all those Americans who can't afford health insurance these days, and over, a few times over. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a robbery against the American people. But even more importantly, it's a war in which all the objectives which were stated by the president and the neocon cabal that rules our Washington and rules our media today, all the objectives of the war, of course, they've all been lost. For one thing, we've not lessened Iraq as a source of terrorism for the world. In fact, very little terrorism came from Iraq during the regime of Saddam Hussein. But now, terrorism is being exported from the country in addition to having the nation thrown into absolute turmoil since the American invasion, and truly the loss of lives of probably upwards of 100,000 Iraqis, men, women, and children. The war is a disaster. The war is not making us safer from terrorism. It's certainly making the world a far more dangerous place. The war is not lessening tension between the Western world and the Muslim world. It's certainly increasing it, and that's exactly what the Jewish extremist neocons, such as Wolfowitz and Crystal and Pearl and Abrams, and we can go on and on, it's exactly what they seek and what they've written about. They want what they call World War IV. They are seeking to drench this world in blood to serve their agenda. And, of course, their agenda has been the expansion of the State of Israel. And now, of course, they're getting ready to launch another war against Iran. As it is, Americans are the targets of hatred from all over the world. We've definitely not lessened opposition to the United States. We've made more and more Americans overseas more vulnerable. In fact, the truth is, many, many millions of Americans who go overseas for many reasons, in travel, in education, in work, business, trade, you name it. And there's no way that the government of this country can protect Americans overseas much more than they can even protect us back home. Our government won't even show the will to secure our Mexican-American border. And hell, along that border, they could probably bring in anything they wanted in terms of a weapon of mass destruction. No, serious, serious terrorism is ahead for us. And these programs that we've embarked upon, this war, not for America, but for Israel, is not only going to not save us from terrorism, it's going to make sure that many, many Americans become victims of terrorism. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got to realize that unless we begin to stand up to these globalists and to these Jewish supremacists who are orchestrating this incredibly destructive policy, that we will eventually reap what we've sown. And the American people can claim, and we can say that, well, it wasn't us that did it. I wasn't in favor of the war, or I was for getting American troops out of the war, or I was for a neutral position in the Middle East. I mean, we can say that, ladies and gentlemen, but the people of a nation have a lot of responsibility for what the government does. That's certainly what I've been taught. And I've been taught the people of Japan had a responsibility for the Japanese government, and they suffered from that responsibility with the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and the Germans had a responsibility. We've all been taught this all of our lives. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility now, and we have a vital responsibility to talk about some of these issues and deal with them. The forces of globalism really launched their first crusade in just a few years ago in the incredible bombing and invasion of Serbia. Now, whether or not we get into the right and wrong of what happened in the former Yugoslavia, one thing's for sure. When I saw American bombs and American planes bombing a European capital, it made my sick stomach. Just incredibly ill. I mean, it was a terrible thing. I can't hardly speak now because I can remember seeing some of the bombing of Belgrade and these other European Christian places by American bombs, and it just was an incredible sight and something that I didn't think I'd see in these years of my life. It was something I've always read about, you know, the Second World War, what a tragedy that was. 64 million of our people dead across the world. I didn't think I'd see it, but then we saw it in Yugoslavia. But that was because Mr. Milosevic didn't want to toe the line of the globalist. He wouldn't bend to their particular program. And as you probably know, the other day, the body of Slobodan Milosevic was on its way out of the Netherlands after the former Serbian leader's son flew in from Russia to collect his remains. And the latest information about Mr. Milosevic was that he died with a harmful type of medicine which he did not need in his system. The family is claiming that he was killed. Why? I think he offered a lot of embarrassment to the West. And don't forget that Mr. Clinton was going to have to get up and testify in that trial. And I think that Mr. Milosevic would have had a hell of a strong argument talking about who's the aggressor here and who are the war criminals here. As you know, in Serbia, many of the Christian Orthodox people were ethnically cleansed, and I think more of them have been cleansed now in the aftermath of this war than was ever claimed by the international community against the Serbians. It was just amazing to me, ladies and gentlemen, that we went into that conflict, and we are continuing to go into further conflicts. Iran is heating up every day, and the pressure is growing for an American attack on Iran. If this takes place, it will be an absolute catastrophe. It will usher in, I believe, a worldwide economic depression. It will drive the price of oil up into the stratosphere, and it will unleash waves of terror that the world probably has never seen before. We are at the brink, and the Jewish supremacists who run our policy, I thought for a long time they wouldn't be so crazy as to attempt to attack Iran or to invade Iran. But I don't really think that anymore. I guess they've shown their insanity in many, many ways. But I think this attack could ultimately be their undoing. Because economic catastrophe and serious depression in the United States and around the world certainly destabilizes their position. And it gives people on the outside politically a little more chance. Third parties have a lot more chance in the United States of America. But at the same time, a warlike situation with massive increase in terrorism gives governments the opportunity to suppress freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote many, many times that the reason why he was for the right to keep and bear arms, for individuals to do so. And he believed in the right of militia, that citizens had the right to form basic groups to defend their rights and their liberties. And he said it again and again and again. He said the reason why I was for this right was not simply about an individual right to keep and bear arms for hunting or something like that. He said it's the right to defend oneself from the excesses of tyrannical government. That's what he said it's all about. He also said that the revolutionary tree needs to be watered with blood every 20 years or so, and that a revolution every 20 years ago is not always that bad. That's a little bit more radical than I'm preaching here today. But I do believe very strongly that as we enter this conflict, maybe some of these supremacists see the opportunity of this conflict as a way to shut down free speech and free thought. Another thing in the news recently, of course, is that Google is being ordered by a federal judge to turn over their records. The excuse for it is some sort of a probe against child pornography. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're all against child pornography. But we're also for freedom of speech, and we don't want to cast out all the rights that we have of freedom of speech and press and assembly on the basis that, well, we got to do this to fight child pornography. In the first place, I don't think we're going to stop child pornography or child abduction by these types of things. If you really look at it, mainstream media today is a very sick media that promotes deviant behavior in so many ways. It defends homosexuality. You know, there are millions of young boys who are seduced homosexually by older males in this country. Millions. And of course, it's been a problem in practically every segment of society, whether you talk about Boy Scouts or in the Catholic Church has obviously had a big problem there. Among schools, you've had a big problem there. So the acceptance of homosexuality obviously makes these young men, these young boys, more vulnerable to these kinds of advances, obviously. If years ago, when I grew up, we were taught that such behavior was the height of immorality, that a real man would never consider such kind of behavior. And nowadays, we have things like Brokeback Mountain, these Jewish productions of our alien Hollywood, the Academy of Motion Pictures, and promoting these kinds of films, where even the icon of America, the cowboy, is now portrayed as some sort of a perverted homosexual. This is the image we want for our children. And as young adolescents sometimes go through that very difficult time when they can't find, you know, a partner of the opposite sex, and they have many urges of natural urges of the body, and here comes an older male, a homosexual male. And by the way, the rate of molestation, for instance, of children by homosexuals is far, far higher than heterosexuals. That's just a fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen. There's no getting around it. There's no denial of this aspect. And so, again, the change in our moral tone has made these kids more vulnerable and more psychologically vulnerable to these kinds of aggressions. Another good example, too, is that, you know, years ago, homosexual was kind of reluctant to do or approach someone because he was afraid of maybe, you know, getting beat up or, you know, what it may be worse for that matter. And the social sense against these things was so great that they wouldn't even dare to do such a thing as abduct a child. And also, the movies, you never saw something like this portrayed in the movies. I often say it this way, when you watch the horror movies these days, and a lot of them are just so gory, in fact, even things like CSI is an absolute, incredible, have incredible gore on there that serves to heighten. If someone is actually insane and they watch all these horror movies, they discover that being insane, they're supposed to kill people, or eat people, or dismember people. And before, when insane people or people with mental problems watched the movies, the insanity was kind of portrayed as somebody off in an institution somewhere, a little bit strange. And nowadays they kind of learn. They kind of say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm insane. It just creates an atmosphere of destruction in our society, and we really have that. And we also see such a tremendous element in our country right now in the media against, and I'm rambling tonight, but it's kind of a fun show. I'm enjoying it. I watch very little commercial television, but sometimes I do watch a little when I'm in this country because I want to know what people are watching, average Americans are watching, and what they're trying to propagandize us with in this nation today. Well, I watched a program last night, and I think it was Miami CSI or CIS. I don't remember the initials, but I remember the program. And the program was about a white male, very attractive, Northern European type white male. And he apparently married a woman. And when he married her, he didn't realize she was half black. And he was very upset about that fact. And so he murdered her, or tried to murder her. He even practiced on murdering somebody else before her. And by the way, you know, it's no wonder there's so much anti-male animus among so many women in America, because you see so many of these anti-male programs. On the same show, there was another male, a blue-eyed, you know, European, very European type, who was accused of killing a woman, who, in fact, he was shown to be guilty of killing a woman. Who refused his advances, or he said that she enticed him, but he then did it because she refused his advances. And but anyway, you know, this is the kind of fare that we see. And by the way, when the really cool researchers at the CIS or CSI, whatever you call it, on this program, because I don't watch it enough to know the exact initials, but all the real cool researchers were either some sort of South Americans, or they were women, and in fact one black woman, she was the biggest expert and the biggest brain of it all, and she was explaining to the other white woman about the, you know, showing her the ropes. And it's just kind of real interesting, you know, how that they almost line up society, the two worst guys, and they had one woman who was bad in it too, another blue-eyed European woman. And but this is the basic theme, you know, of our television programs. When they went to the perpetrator's hard drive in his computer, he had erased some files, and they found, of course, naturally swastikas. Well, you know, he had to be evil and the devil if they found that in his hard drive. But that's the way they do it these days. They portray, there's a constant portrayal of Europeans now. If you watch for these programs and you try to figure out who's the bad guy, just wait for the guy to come along and be from the South, or, you know, be a very handsome European-type male and European-American, and boy, you know he's the one that that did the dirty deed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time, but I enjoyed being with you, and I'll certainly be with you tomorrow. I hope that all of you will use your computers, the keyboards in front of you, to spread our word around the world. You can do it. You can do it right now. You should go on the chat clubs, and there's so many different places you can post on the Internet now where hundreds, if not thousands, of people read your writings. Always give them a direct link or some specific names where they can go. Do a Google search, find our websites, and read our words for themselves. Putting out ideas is not enough, but if you do that, you do it cleverly, you can definitely bring many people to our cause. And that's the task before all of us. We must grow. We must make more people aware of our ideas and our values. And our values are that we shall preserve our heritage and our freedom. Good luck to you all, and I'll see you again tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddude.com.